demand.
Hi, I'm Jim Stroud.
And this is Karen Matinen, and welcome to the Recruiter's Lounge.
The Recruiter's Lounge is a podcast of news, interviews, and commentary on the recruiting industry. And it was designed with you in mind. So sit back, relax, and enjoy your time in the Recruiter's Lounge.
SGA, Executive Tracker Pro, is an online service providing contact information on thousands of executives at each of the top public and private companies. And hear this, people. It is 100%, yes, 100% telephone verified, constantly updated, highly accurate, and comprehensive. With SGA Executive Tracker Pro, you have at your fingertips the contact information of C-level executives and all of those essential director and management level personnel that you just can't seem to find anywhere else. Listen up, people. SGA Executive Tracker Pro can dramatically shorten the amount of time it takes you to find the best leads. Hey, pick up the phone right now and give them a call. Tell them Jim Stroud said, I could have a free 15-minute online demonstration of your product, and I want to see it right now. The number you need to make that happen is 518-843-4611. That's 518-843-4611. And, of course, you can also find them online at www.sgaexecutivetracker.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another session of the Recruiter's Lounge. And this is Karen Matinen starting off because Jim said, like he did last week, he didn't want to start it off with the same thing. So here, next to me, is the most beautiful, most wonderful Jim Stroud. Say hi, Jim.
Hello, everybody. Jim Stroud is here.
That was perfect.
That was being you.
Okay, so that made you feel good? Did you get something off your chest there, Jim?
No, not really.
You sure about that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, okay. All right. I don't usually you start this off, so I'm going to kind of like go a little stiff here, you know. Not used to this. But since he's given me the lead, okay, Jimbo, that's why I call him Jimbo, tell me, what have you read recently?
Well, I've read a couple of things.
Okay.
Well, you know I'm always reading stuff.
Yes, of course. And that's why you're starting us off today. So give us some good stuff that you read recently.
Well, there is some controversy. There's always controversy somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Over in London. And
wait. London? Okay.
Yeah, London, UK. Actually, it may not actually be London, but it was in the UK.
For us Americans down here, well, why would we care about London?
Well, London is, you need to care about what's going on in all kinds of countries in terms of HR, because no matter where it happens, if it's not happening here, it may happen eventually.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So it's good to watch, see what's going on across the pond.
You know, I know ANSI, I think it's the name of the association.
ANSI?
Yeah, I think if I can remember the actual association member name, ANSI, A-N-S-I, okay? I just know that's what it is. It's some kind of regulation company.
Mm-hmm.
They tell me they watch all the time these different things that happen in different companies and different countries.
Mm-hmm.
And then they report it back to the government. And they also report it to associations or to groups. Like, for example, some legal issues happening with lawyers, and they'll go to the bar association and say, hey, England's doing this with regards to bar. You guys might want to be aware of this because this could be adopted by our legal.
And that group is called ANSI?
ANSI.org.
ANSI.org.
Yeah.
That's a new one on me. I don't think I've heard of them before.
Yeah, they're huge. I know they've been around for a long time, and I think they have a lot to do with like self-regulation of industries. They're the ones who do the, you know, when you see you see something. Okay, it's called the American National Standards Institute.
Oh, still haven't heard of them. I haven't.
You know when you see something, it's supposed to be like something certified. They have these like little comments about something is certified regards to safety and stuff like that.
Yeah.
They said the guys that do that.
Oh. Okay, I'll say I've somewhat heard of them. But
okay, yeah. I know a lot of it has to do with self-regulation, but they watch other countries. They had mentioned that they tend to watch the standards of other countries and then go to the government and go to these associations, and they also try to fight it off. That's what, okay. Okay, back to you, though. So,
yeah, thank you, because I'd almost forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
It was in the city of London. And actually, I have the article right in front of me. It's from this article, from this magazine called Woman Alive.
Okay.
I'm not sure how I came across a magazine called Woman Alive, not being a woman, but
you were thinking about me or your wife?
I don't know. I just came across it.
Okay.
Anyway, I'll read the first paragraph. It said, employers are being urged to provide prayer rooms and quiet space to meet the religious needs of employees and to promote diversity in the workplace, and a guide launched this week in the city of London. So this group, this action group, is asking employees, hey, keep in mind the different diversity you have here in the workplace and provide prayer rooms so that people can, you know, pray towards the East or whatever their religious affiliation is whenever they want, and just make it the workplace a bit happier.
Well, that reminds me of something that happened here in America.
Yeah, and I really wasn't all that psyched then. But tell them what you're talking about, then I'll get back to my point.
Well, go back to your point, and I'll tell you what I was thinking of. Go ahead.
I was thinking that, okay, it's certainly nice to have a prayer space in the office. If the employer wants to do that, just to be nice.
Okay.
But I think if it gets to a point where it's required, that makes me nervous. Because then what if you have a place for, I don't know, people to practice their Muslim faith, but no one in the office is Muslim? Then the company has spent all that money to have these different places together in the office for these particular prayer, lack of a better word, prayer people.
Mm-hmm.
It's a needless expense for the company.
Now,
I would suggest, I have no problem whatsoever with having a space set aside, but to make it mandatory, I am against that. I mean,
Okay, before you go there, I'm going to
paying extra money for it. I just don't see that.
Well, okay, let's go with the conversations we had not too long ago about you have to have a mandatory room for women who are lactating or women who are breastfeeding.
La 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 la.
See, there we go again.
That's
the reason why. You just said the reason why, because you know what?
But what if no one in the office? What if no one in the office is breastfeeding?
Because okay, you just got uncomfortable even just talking about breastfeeding. You see, so that's the point. I don't want to have to see you praying or celebrating.
Well, hey, you never see me breastfeeding. I guarantee you that.
Right, but I don't want to have to see you praying either. I don't want to see you celebrating your right to prayer.
But see, that's something that can be done in the privacy of one's car or, you know, maybe out in the parking lot or someplace. I'm not against, you know, I'm all for praying in the workplace because you hear about these accidents happening, about people getting mad and shooting up the place. You know, you need a little extra inspirational protection. But for the record, I'm against compelling a company to build something to support a group's particular faith.
Well, you see, and there's the question that I have a problem with what you're saying, because if you go ahead and say we won't allow Muslims or our individuals to have that, then what we're going to then trickle down to ADA. So we're not going to make reasonable accommodation for people who are have disabilities. Or we don't have to make, you take away somebody's rights one place, they'll find a way to take it away.
But it's not a right for you to pray.
Absolutely.
It's a privilege for a company to an employee, but it's not a right. Like if I am, I always think of Muslims, but beyond Muslims, there are a lot of different types of faith.
Okay, you do know what Title VII is in regards to EOC, right?
No.
I think it's Title VII. Please, no, I don't want anybody emailing me because I am very tired. I've been up since 5 o'clock, so I'm not sure if it's Title VII, it's just race or not. But in regards to discrimination in the EOC, one of the things that are protected is religion.
Yes, okay, now how
it is a right.
But you know what? How do you qualify religion? Because I could make up a religion on the spot.
Sure, and you have the right to do that. That's the beauty of our Constitution.
Hold on, wait. Let's go down this path. My religion says that I do not work on Thursdays.
Okay.
And that is when we're having a big meeting. So So
I'm going to say every Thursday you can't get paid then.
Okay, regardless.
You don't have to
okay,
hold,
what about regardless paid? Being paid? But what if my employer says, "Hey, this meeting is mandatory," and even though your new religion said you can't do any work on Thursday at 2 p.m. when that meeting is, then I'm about to let you go because everybody. I have to make sure that people are going to be here because the only time we can have this meeting is on.
I'm going to give you a perfect example of what happened. Hear me out on this one. Okay?
All right.
This is about Dell and Spherion. Dell and Spherion both kind of fired people, employees, because they weren't Muslims who wanted to pray at specific times. Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, these employees actually left the job site expressing the importance of their request to conduct their sunset praying and in accordance to their Islamic faith. Not Muslim, actually, they're Islamic, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, these guys, there was an agreement that was created, okay, because there was going to be this huge, massive lawsuit, okay? They ended up having this wonderful little agreement that worked out. One of the guidelines that they came up with that they instructed the managers and supervisors to grant paid time away from an employee's work area for prayer as long as those requests are reasonable. Okay, that's in other words, is it going to really cost you tons and tons of money to have the person go pray for 15 minutes? And okay, no. And can that person maybe make up the work in extra 15 minutes for after work? No. And maybe a room for them to go ahead and do this so that you don't go ahead and create some antagonism and hatred or resentment or hostility. So that's what they wanted to. Part of the agreement, okay, this is where it got interesting. Part of the agreement was that Dell or Spherion were to receive additional training on their current practices of religious accommodation. Again, it's accommodating people who are different, and allowing people to be able to feel or express their difference without a discomfort. Now, let's talk about me. I am truly a different kind of person. You guys always
This is true.
Yeah, I mean, I'm totally nuts and crazy and everything else. And just even today, I was told I should temper myself. I need to calm down, I was told. I should mellow my voice. Because I kind of, like, create this problem where people don't express themselves and people don't want to hear what I have to say.
Obviously not the people who listen to our podcast.
Obviously. Or people who also email me by the drove to say thank you. Obviously. I mean, I told that person, I said, you know, there's two people that I really respect, Bill Maher, and this is going to freak you out, but
Bill
Maher. Stern.
I'm not a Bill Maher fan.
And you're probably not a Howard Stern fan either.
Only in very, very small doses.
Okay.
I just don't. I'm not a big fan.
See, I'm the Howard Stern and you're Robin, okay?
Who's Robin? Oh, the black woman who co-host?
Yeah, you're my Robin, right?
I don't have the breasts to be Robin.
I'm teasing. Anyways, the reason I admire them is not always for what they say. Because, I mean, sorry, Bill Maher says some things sometimes that really kind of, just get my craw.
Only sometimes?
Yeah, sometimes. Not all the time. Okay, we have different political beliefs, and people know that. Okay, we won't go there, okay?
Let's not go there.
Thank you. So, anyways, Bill Maher, you know, especially when it comes to God, okay, he loves to berate people who believe in God.
Because he's atheist, I think, right?
He's totally atheist.
Okay, well, but, you know what? That's an interesting point. What if I know they've had some issues around this, just sort of diverge a little bit from what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
What if the office wants to have a Christmas party,
mm-hmm.
and they can't call it a Christmas party because everybody else has their different affiliations?
Yeah.
Is that really fair?
I think that if we want to have...
But it's obvious. That's what everybody's...
I think there should be a Christmas party, there should be a Jewish party, there should be the atheist party. Why not have it? Why can't we all have it all? Okay, so you don't like Christmas, then don't go to the Christmas party, but go to the atheist party.
Or just don't come to the party at all. Just
right.
Play.
There you go. Let me have the right to be Christmas.
So why change Christmas holiday?
Pardon?
So why change it from Christmas party to holiday party?
Well, the problem is because, again, this is where you take American Constitution and flip-flop it, okay? It takes away the rights of people who are willing to say, I want, because you want to go ahead and satisfy the minority. Who wants? And I've never understood that about America. Why is it that the minority sometimes wins so much? I thought it should be about majority.
Because people who are minority, they make their voice loud enough, then people will, I guess, placate them to shut them up or fear of reprisal or this new political correctness, which is a religion. And
well, here, let me ask you a question. You and I are both minorities.
Okay. Depends on where you are.
Pardon?
Depends on where you are.
Well, yeah, it depends on where you are. But let's just say in America, we're considered to be minorities on a general basis, right?
Mm-hmm.
Me, I have the double whammy, all right, because I got a female going with me as well, okay? And can you imagine, though, if there hadn't been a Martin Luther King who had his voice heard? Dude, I'd still be in the back of the bus. In fact, actually, I wouldn't even be born because my mother and father would be illegal for them to have married.
Mm.
My father being white, my mother being biracial. So, I don't know. I mean, there's a pro and con to that, too, isn't there?
I suppose.
I mean, seriously, I mean, can you? There's a lot of
but
people.
It's still, it's, you know, it,
but there's a lot of white people who resent our voice, by the way. There's a lot of. You know how I can tell you that? Let's go back to employment again. 2000%.
Let's say an HR world here.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. 2000% discrimination is up in the last 10 years. 2000%? That's a lot. Even today, it's actually higher today than it was last year. Why? Why is it that we are now, what, 60 years? 60 years since we've been, since the EEOC has been around? Is it 60 or is it 50? What is our 40? 40 and 40s? Tell me, help me out here. Is it what is it? 1960 says 40 years. 40 years.
Years.
Uh-huh.
It's 40 years.
Right.
More
actually,
or less.
Affirmative action has actually been around since the 1800s. Most people don't know that, just to give you a heads up. But civil rights union movement has been around 1946, I believe it was. Or 64, sorry. Thank you. So here's the issue. It's 40 years, 2008. We've got more diverse people. We've got a lot of rainbow kids in America. But yet, there is still such high-level discrimination. I want to give you a little bit of tidbit history that's interesting, too. I live in California. There's a lot of discrimination against Mexicans. They call them all kinds of derogatory names. I'm not going to use them because I don't want anybody coming back and hitting me hard on them. But, well, I'm going to use them. Bean pickers. You know, they call them asparagus pickers. They call them all kinds of stuff. They said they are not smart. They're not intelligent. They're dumb. They're ignorant. You want to know what's interesting? Do you know that Mexico City has more graduates than America does?
Yeah. You know what will stop discrimination, and I'm going to move to a different topic, but you know what will stop discrimination, especially.
What?
Right?
What?
If they had more, they banded, if more groups like the ones you mentioned start their own business, support their own communities, become an economic powerhouse.
Dude, you know that.
Then it wouldn't matter.
No, let me tell you what
happens. It wouldn't matter. It wouldn't matter.
It doesn't happen that way. Do you know women don't like hiring
women? If you have a big company and you're discriminating against someone, it's because they're working for you.
No, honey, women don't like hiring other women. For some reason, do you know minorities tend not to hire more, minority owners tend not to hire more minority-owned people?
Again, it goes to the point of supporting your own community.
It doesn't happen that way. And I don't agree with that, by the way. I really don't, because I think it creates a sense of reverse discrimination. I'm going to give you a perfect example. Let's look at Black Entertainment TV. I hate Black Entertainment TV. I also hate Miss Black America. Cannot stand even the concept of Miss Black America.
Oh, she's cute.
Well, let me explain why I can't stand it.
Mm.
Because can you imagine if we try to pull an all-white Miss America? Are all white American school?
I see your point in what you're saying. So we actually may have a point of agreement here. So it should come to a point where we drop the hyphenation in the description of our identity. So it shouldn't be African American or Chinese American.
I hate that term.
It should just be American.
Holy shit. Okay, I wrote an article about this. Let's go with this a minute, too. I'm originally from the Caribbean. I just got my citizenship not too long ago. I've never stepped foot in Africa. I could tell you right now, if I ever went to Africa, I'm probably going to want to leave immediately. There is no way that I'm going to want to live there because it's highly poor. I couldn't even live there a day for less than a week. There's a lot of poverty, a lot of crime, and I'm going to tell you, genocide just doesn't fit well with me, okay? I know that's not all of Africa, and I know I'm kind of stereotyping, but that's my perception when I think of Africa and what's been the minority causes down there, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Mandela did spend how many years in jail? Okay, so let's go ahead. I am not African. I am not black either. I am biracial. And I'm proud of that. But somehow the other people want me to put black on a form, and I'm like, dude.
And just why is that? Because they have to keep from being sued.
Label. No, I'm not.
You mean sued
other.
And make sure they're not being pinged by the government. That's
You know what?
Feel.
No, because I get it from our own, too. If I say I'm biracial, people say, what, you're not proud being black? And I'm like, because I'm not. I got a mother and a father. I love both of them. And I'm sorry, I'm not going to go take preference over both sides of my race. I don't know what race I am. I call myself a mutt. But you know what? I got genes from both white and black inside of me. So I'm not going to go ahead and say, hey, I'm going to go ahead and identify with just with my mom or identify with my father. I'm sorry.
I'm a
biracial person. And I'm proud of it. I'm a rainbow.
Hey, well, part of the reason why the hyphenation persists is because, like I said, I was trying to say earlier, companies don't want to be sued for being discriminatory, but they want to say that they want to be able to prove that we have X number of African American, X number of Asian, X number of disabled, whatever.
I say,
and those classifications are given so that the companies can protect themselves from being sued for being discriminatory.
And I think that it's because.
And that's why they're on those. That's why they're on those reports. And that's why when you fill out as a
publication. I don't believe that. I believe
that's
that
for.
Because I do not. I believe that this continues to perpetuate because there's a bunch of people out there who, like, for example, let's take Reverend Jesse Jackson.
Do we have to?
Oh yeah, we do. See, you rest my case. Oh, because he's black, and I can't believe he said that, and he's a racist. Oh gosh darn it. But then again, let's just go with the comment about Obama that recently happened. They did him and his wife did a little hand jab together, and all of a sudden he's now what, a terrorist? And that was a terrorist sign? I mean, come on, we perpetuate it because we want to perpetuate it because you know what? We love to create the role of victims. Who's the victim? Is it the white Americans or is it the black Americans? Is it the people like me or you? Always somebody has to have a martyr victim role. That's what I perceive.
Well, part of that is because there's money in that.
Absolutely. And let's take, for example, if we could say that there's a war for talent, there's money in that. If we could go ahead and say that there's no shortage of employment, we can make money. Or there's a shortage of employment, they can make money in that. We could create the hysteria about avian flu, which, by the way, I'm still waiting.
Well, let's not call that up.
I'm sorry. I don't think that's going to happen either. But you know what we do need to wonder is why is it that we had spinach and lettuce and tomato go bad and we had all these botulism and this and salmonella and all these other different diseases. Why is it that we're not questioning that?
You know a site you need to look at?
What?
And anyone else who may agree with you about the classification of Americans? Instead of just saying you're just American, period.
Mm-hmm.
There's a site that I'm looking at right now, actually, called dropthedash.com.
Hey, you know what, by the way?
Hold on, check it out. Let me spell out for people who want to check this out. All right, Drop the Dash, just like it sounds, www.dropthedash.com. Dropthedash.com. And it looks like it's a political action movement to remove the classification of Americans and take off.
Actually, it's a great point because, you know, Americans are the only ones who do classification. And by the way, do you ever heard the word term Mustafino?
The what?
Okay.
What's say again?
Mustafino.
Mustafino?
Yeah, that's an quadroon.
Yeah, from the 1800s.
No, actually, it depends on what country you're in.
Well, I mean, they use it over here in the 1800s.
But depends what country, because it's still used in some countries. There's different levels of black, and for every level you are, there's a different character. So it depends on the percentage of black that you have in you. Okay?
Right, right.
They use that
to describe slaves in the 1800s.
Exactly. This person who's Mustafino has a quadroon, for example, has only got 0.25% black in them. Obvious, right?
But also keep in mind, in that time period, they say if you had 1/10 of Negro blood, you were black.
Yeah, absolutely. You could have blonde hair and blue eyes and still be considered black. Like my kids, I keep wondering what.
You had a black cousin, right?
Because my kids have Hispanic in them and white and black and Portuguese. Oh my God, can you imagine the mutts that they are? I mean, so you look at all the aspects of America pretty much is the only one really who used a lot of the terminology of black and white and segregation as heavily as we do. I think what you said once about classism makes more sense.
Classism makes more sense to me than racism does.
It really, I mean,
I'm not saying that I don't understand racism in this country. I'm just saying if someone is black or Asian and they got a lot of money, then chances are they're not going to be abused as much because they have the money and they can just say, well, you know, forget you. I can start my own company.
I agree with that. I think that's...
And that's what I want to see. I want to see more minority-owned businesses or the so-called minority.
That's the part that people keep missing. The problem is that I hate to tell you this. I mean, there is a guy that movie was made up about not too long ago. And this man will not even go and speak at a school in the ghetto in Los Angeles unless he gets $20,000. Now, what does that tell you?
It tells me that he set his prices and doesn't want to change under any condition.
He won't even help, his own. That's the way the comments are made, okay? I personally say, why can't he go to either black or white schools, but either they're not, but, you know, the black community is in the arm about this. I kind of think, though, in a way, look, you know, I don't know how to put this. I mean, I think that there's a lot of poor people, white and black, Hispanic, whatever. And I live in California, and I see and watch tremendously a lot of classism, and I also see a lot of racism. But what we also see is that certain schools get more money in certain zip codes from the government, a lot more money than other schools do. You see that in Georgia. You see that in Tennessee.
Oh, you definitely see it in Georgia, but I also would say in regards to that, how many of those zip codes you're referring to, how many are apathetic to the political process? How many are saying, oh, this is us against them, and they don't care about me, so I'm not even going to try. I'm not going to make nothing's going to change because they think they have a victim mentality that it's never going to happen.
Well, that's the point. That's
the good
point.
Those zip codes who are vocal, who are in the process, who aren't apathetic, they voice their concerns, and it changes for them.
But the problem is that it makes an outsider, like, for example, I try to give back as much as I can. And the reason I try to do that is because I recognize that in America, some of these people, they live in California, but they've never even seen the ocean. And they live in L.A. and still never seen the ocean. They don't even know what a library is, far less to go to a library to learn how to pull themselves out of the system. Nobody's told them that they can. And so, to me, I do find it particularly, I think it's just outrageous when people who have pulled themselves up cannot take the time to go back and teach others how to pull themselves up.
Let me switch gears here because we beat that topic to death.
Okay.
Well, let me ask you this. Say you're in the employer seat, so you're the man, so to speak.
Okay.
All right. Now, should you pay someone overtime if they check their BlackBerry while they're at the dinner table? Or sending an office email or posting a job-related blog post if they're doing it from their bed at night just before they go to bed. You say, you know what, I'm in bed, I'm going to turn over.
Is it employment-related?
Yes, because there was a fight over at ABC News over paying some writers.
They got to do it.
It's on their own time.
Yep, employee-related, they got to do it. Hey, I'm not supposed to talk about
that. This is from the employee side. Hey, I'm actually doing work, so I should get paid for it. From the employer side, they're saying, well, dude, you're here 40-plus hours a day here.
You're
here 40 hours a day, and I see you goofing off on eBay and checking your MySpace page. So don't give me any noise about checking your BlackBerry real quick when I can walk by your office and I can see you on eBay. I can see you on MySpace.
Well, you know what? Then that's the company's. Okay, if the
You're wasting the company money screwing around on the net.
Hold on. First off, the company needs to set up some protocols so that the employee isn't going to be wasting any time on the net.
Oh, how can you govern that?
Oh, you make
sure
they have these firewalls so they can't get on sites like that, like they do at all these other companies. Over 70% of companies have that on their sites.
Do you know what? If you block certain sites, then this is my speculation.
Okay.
If you were to block sites like Amazon or eBay, a few others, then I think what's going to happen is people are going to, instead of just taking a few minutes to goof off for a few minutes and get back to work. You're going to have people taking off more time to do this stuff, and they can just sort of knock it off real quick and go.
Here's a question to you. What did people actually do before there was a computer? You mean they actually worked? Come on. I mean, seriously.
Different ways.
No. See, there's
a
thing.
It's like a Flintstone. Let's do a Flintstone example. And I'm fully aware that Flintstone was a fictional cartoon. All right? People are people,
uh-huh.
regardless of the time period, regardless of the history.
Uh-huh.
People, if you're going to go to work and you're going to goof off, you're going to find a way to do it. Whether you're doing it on the computer, where you're going around cubicle to cubicle talking
uh-huh.
to people, whether you're in the bathroom reading the newspaper on the stool, I mean,
uh-huh.
if you're going to find a way to do it, you're going to do it.
Well, here's the deal. If I don't see you working at the damn desk, I mean, this is on behalf of the company. I'm not agreeing with everything I'm saying here, okay? But if I don't see you working at the desk, and I'm not counting, because remember, I can count your key, I can count your strokes on the computer, I can see the hours you're spending on the telephone, okay? I can count what you're doing, okay? And if I can see that you're not being accountable to your time, then you can be gone, and I have a reason to fire you. See ya.
But see, that's not even a true accounting of what I've done. Say if you can check my keystrokes. You see what I'm doing on my computer. What if I walk away and I'm not at my computer, but I'm in the break room doing notes there because I want to just get away from my cubicle for a minute?
And then if you can show that you've been doing that, then that's fine. I mean, again, are you doing on the – look, I don't know. I mean, it's like, okay, straight up, if I'm working on company's time, on my time, and I'm doing for the company's, rather, to say – if I'm doing it on the company, then the company has to pay. Look, there was just recently, and I've got to be careful how I say this because I promised certain people I wasn't going to mention this too much, okay? A particular industry company got sued. And the reason they got sued is because they were not paying their employees overtime. You see, the recruiters were going home and picking up the phone and calling from home and stuff like that. And, of course, people keep saying recruiters are exempt and they're not. And so they weren't paying them for the overtime that they were doing for the work that they were doing. Hey, you know, they're taking away from their family. They're working to try to make money for the company. The company's making $1 million because of this recruiter. So if the company's making $1 million because of that recruiter spending time at home working in the night or in the car driving home, then guess what? They gotta pay them for the work. It doesn't matter if you're doing it from the comfort of your bed if the company's making money out of it.
Okay, well, let's go that a little bit more then. Okay, say they should get paid. If they're checking their BlackBerry home, get paid.
Mm-hmm.
If they are checking their email while they're in the line at Walmart, your favorite place.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go there, but go ahead.
That was sarcasm, people who watch the show. Listen to the show. All right, so how should they be compensated by that? Should they put in that they've done 2.1 minutes of overtime? 36.4 seconds on this, you know, 3 minute, you know, on that.
The same way they would log it at if they were in the office.
What are their salaried employees?
They break it down by the hours as if you were to be an employee in the office. And, I mean, that's just it. If they're salaried employees, by the way, you don't get that. You only get it if you're working on the hour. So you don't get it if you're a salaried employee. Salaried employees don't get overtime.
But you know what? If word were to get out that this company is looking at you so hard that you have to put in, you know, 3.1 minutes of BlackBerry use, how's that going to affect their reputation as a maybe that somebody wants to work for?
By the way, salaried employees can get overtime, and depending on how little or how much they're making, it has to go to minimum wage limit. Okay. So, and depending on your classification of what, I got to make sure I clarify that. And it depends on your classification of what kind of work you're doing, okay? Because sometimes they can get overtime. I've got to make sure I clarify that because I could get my butt kicked on that one, okay? Because, I mean, if you're, like, say, for example, a professional and they said, I'm going to give you a salary, but I'm only going to give you $2,000, you should be making $4,000 based upon classification.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what I wanted to make sure I covered that, because sometimes you can be underpaid, and so sometimes you can get overtime. Now, what did you say in regards to the BlackBerry? Again, as long as you're working, and I mean physically doing work, you got to be paid for it. And, oh, here's a great story that was out today, okay?
What?
About this. A woman, she's driving. She gets hit by a truck, and she says, the guy was on the phone when he hit her. And she was said, hey, he was talking to one of his coworkers. He was working because it's in the company's truck. Okay, he's got to pay. Court said, yeah. We're going to let him go to court.
Wait a minute. The company has to pay.
Yeah.
Because when he had the accident, he was talking to a coworker.
Right. Now, here's another.
Wait. And he was also driving a company car.
Right.
Okay, well, that driving a company.
No, you don't have to always be driving a company car. You could just be doing the company. You just could be doing a mission. The court said, now, this has happened in Georgia, okay? Mm-hmm. And the court said, we're going to allow it to go to court and allow it, a jury to hear this case, okay? So the jury's going to decide if the guy's guilty or not. But because I think with Georgia was one of the few states that doesn't have, like, yes or no about this kind of stuff, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the deal. There's another interesting one. I think this one was in California. A guy was going to get cigarettes. And so he pulls into a truck to the 7-Eleven to get cigarettes. He's supposed to go from point A to point B. He said also he made a little detour. So when he was got his cigarettes, when he was pulling out, he hits this other vehicle. Company says, we don't want to pay for that. We don't think we should be because he really wasn't supposed to go on a detour. He's not supposed to get cigarettes. That's against regulations. Court said, hey, he's still working. Sorry. You guys got to pay. He's still basically working. He's still doing, even though he took that little detour, he's still going to go do a job for you. So, I mean, and it also depends on every state. It's going to depend on which appellate court or what court says what. There's nothing is ever black and white, you know, but, I mean, these are things we'll call precedents. And so they say, hey, this could happen in your state or this could happen to you. So maybe you should look at the rules of your company and figure out that maybe you should make sure you say, oh, by the way, that's another thing. Just because you put it in writing and had somebody sign off on this doesn't mean it's so. Perfect example. You want to use texting, okay? Did you know that a company cannot read their employees' text messages?
So what? They can't. Because it's on their personal phone? Company bought the phone and gave it to them.
Company owns the phone, and company says, hey, we think that you're talking to your wife a little bit too much and probably doing some gambling or whatever. So we're going to go ahead and contact Verizon and ask Verizon to send, I'm sorry, Verizon, I'm just using you, you know, rhetorically, okay, you know, hypothetically, okay? So I've got to contact Verizon and ask Verizon to send us over your phone bill so we can see who the hell you're talking to and what your messages are about. No can do. Companies cannot, in any shape, way, or form, read your messages.
Read your text messages.
Uh-uh.
But how come they can read your email messages?
They can't read your email messages either.
A company can
They can look at your records, and even that's kind of touch and go. They can look at your records as to whom you were calling, but they can't read your information that's in there.
But a company can also read your email.
No.
I've always heard that.
No.
I've always heard that.
Personal stuff. I'm going to tell you, it's got to be touch and go. The
right.
Text message one, I know as of this just came about. This is a precedent that just came about a couple weeks ago. I'm sure if you can't do your text messages, they can't do your email. I am not sure about that, but possibly that might be true. Because it said, the way they came out and said is, you have the right to protect and to have privacy. You have a right to that.
Even
so
if
maybe
a phone that I bought you as the company.
No, you
so
can't.
So technically it's my property. I'm just letting you use it because I'm the company and I bought that for you. And since it's technically mine, I should be able to do with it what I want.
You should be, but it's not your messages. Here's the thing. It's not your messages.
Hmm. Send me an article. I would like to post that article.
Actually, you can go to hyrecentrics.com and find it there.
Well, alrighty then.
I actually wrote about something on there on hyrecentrics.com. Can I do that a third time?
Why not? Do it again. What site is that again, Karen?
Oh, it's a new site that's in beta form, and it's called Hyrecentrics, and that's H-I-R-E-C-E-N-T-R-I-X xsandxylophone.com. And yes, it's
xylophone.
We're still in beta. That means we really want you guys to tell us if what needs to be changed, what doesn't need to be changed, and there's still a lot of changes to be made. And you can also find Jim Stroud's beautiful blog and listen to us on that site, too, by the way. Because, you know, anyway.
I'm still stuck on xylophone. X is in xylophone?
Uh-huh.
I have never even heard the words.
X-Y-L-E.
I know what it is. I haven't heard it in so long.
What?
Xylophone.
You never heard that X is in xylophone before? Okay, now.
I was in what, grade?
Actually, an employer's right to monitor email and text messages remains strong. Here's another thing, because they're talking about it here. I got an email. I'm looking to see if I can open this up. It's open. Okay, so they said they still have, this here says something different now. Ooh. This says employers continue to have the right to access, monitor, and review an employee's use of emails and text messages when the employee is using company-provided technology. Yet the recent publicity of a Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals decision has created new buzz about the privacy rights of employees. But this new decision, however, does not create an exception to the generally accepted rule. Employees do not have an exception of privacy in the communications that they send with company-provided technology. To the contrary, it outlines the importance of consistent and appropriate enforcement of electronic use policies. So, okay, this is getting more and more confusing because the other case said, hey, with the police officer said, no, you know, you can't go look at the text messages. See, here it is. The case arose when the City of Ontario requested and received transcripts of the text messages from Arch Wireless, the outside company which provided the wireless text messages for the city. And they felt that because they felt this guy had overused his pager. The transcripts revealed that many of the messages sent from this gentleman's pager were personal in nature and sexually explicit. So they sued Arch Wireless. And so on appeal, the Ninth Court addressed the claims that the SEA and the Fourth Amendment Court did not evaluate the state privacy claim, that it concluded that the claim was encompassed by the Fourth Amendment privacy claim. Thus, at first glance, it's a question about whether this decision actually extends to private employers since the Fourth Amendment only applies to public employers. So it's kind of getting a little confusing now.
Yeah.
The court said, hey, look, you know, they said the most important exception for the employers relates to the guy's reasonable exception of privacy in light of the city's computer usage, internet, and email policy. And they also talked about it in here. One thing they had said was that just because you had a person sign off on a document that said that they agreed to certain X, Y, and Z, that doesn't mean it's going to hold up in court.
You know what?
It's gotten really more and more confusing now because this, I guess, happened just recently.
Yeah, that's why I'm scratching my head. Okay.
I mean, I heard one thing. There was one thing, and now this is.
And I've always heard the opposite. So.
Yeah, I mean, I sent you just a few seconds ago.
Yeah.
One of the emails on it, and that was
from
the one
Fred
I read. So let's give them the credit where credit is due.
Yeah.
And see what they say, you know, because this to me is really quite interesting. Because I wrote about this too.
You know what? I'm gonna put this on my Twitter blog.
On your Twitter blog?
For people who use Twitter, and you should, although certain people on the call, not me, don't like Twitter, but I love it. So if you want to find links to this and other interesting articles, go through Twitter, twitter.com/Jim Stroud. That's twitter.com/Jim Stroud.
And don't forget, which is the other one not to forget?
The other one I think is called HireCentrics, which is www.HireCentrix.com.
Now, why can we publicize it here? Because Jim Stroud, my buddy, and my best friend in the whole wide world is
Gary.
Yeah. He is, yeah. Like, we consider this to be almost like, well, can we say it like sister sites?
You can say it, sure.
Yeah, you know, we totally are there to help each other succeed, aren't we?
That's right. So this is, HireCentrics is a labor of love for Karen, so please show your support for her by checking out this.
And yes, you can sign in. right now. We're still trying to formulate a few other changes in regards to, like, people go there and they're getting confused. And what we're trying to do is to say it's a one-stop kind of solution for people in the employment recruiting industries, you know, HR recruiting.
You know what? You know what we can do?
What?
People, if you have questions about HireCentrics, just go check it out and then just send her an email.
Are you?
Through the site. Hey, you can reach Karen at karen@therecruiterslounge.com or karen@HireCentrics.com. And also Jim at therecruiterslounge.com as well.
I have Karen M. at HireCentrics.
And all of that. All right. The timer says we're way over time today. Go figure. That never happens. If all hearts and minds are clear, I'd like to say bye-bye, the Recruiters Lounge audience.
Oh, that is so awesome. And thank you guys for being there for us. And what number is this, guys? How far are we into now?
What number of this podcast?
Yeah.
This is number 111, I think.
Oh, wow. Can you imagine?
Okay, yeah. Tell a friend about the podcast. It'll make us smile. We'd appreciate it.
Yeah, it always is nice to have a lot more people, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. All right, we're going to go now. So, you know what I should say?
What?
If you want to advertise on the Recruiter's Lounge, feel free to reach out to us that way as well, too.
Oh, wait, another thing we want to also say, here's the cool part.
What?
You can actually advertise on both sites for a discount, too.
This is true. You can advertise on the recruiterslounge.com and the Recruiters Lounge podcast, and also on HireCentrics at very special rates. So
I'll
email to find out about that. Okay, so now that we way over our time. So bye-bye, Karen.
Bye-bye, I'm Jim.
Bye-bye.
Well, that's it for this show. You've been a wonderful audience. If you like what you heard, love what you heard, or just plain hate what you just heard, let me know. Your feedback matters. You can reach me through my website at jimstroud.com/podcast. That's jimstroud.com/podcast. So until next time, I'm Jim Stroud, and you're not.